Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Joan and her husband Tom were in a quandary. Soon their first child would be born, which both had been anticipating with joy. What they had not anticipated was their uneasiness about who would care for their child. Should either Joan or Tom give up a comfortable job to stay home? Should they use some of their salaries for a daily babysitter or a live-in nanny? A hefty expense. Should they check out daycare providers or centers in their area? Both Joan and Tom had happy memories of growing up with a parent home when they were young. But they wondered, how is it possible to make that kind of sacrifice today? Is it worth the drop in income and the hours alone with just a little one? From a parent's perspective, how does it feel to be a stay-at-home parent? I'm Sandy Burt. Linda Perlis could not be with us today. We will be talking with guests, both with professional backgrounds, who have stayed at home to parent. Tracy Thompson is a journalist on leave from the Washington Post. She works on her freelance writing at home. Tracy has a 2.5-year-old daughter. We're so glad you could join us, Tracy.
Thanks for having me.
Dave Zellner has a PhD in engineering and enjoys cooking as a creative outlet. He is the father of a son and a daughter, both teenagers. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you, Sandy. It's nice to be here.
Dave, what's different about staying home today compared to staying home a generation ago?
Well, staying home today, I think from my own experience, I come from a background in which my mother was the stay-at-home parent and my father was a college professor. So I think that what's different today in a large respect is there aren't any role models for stay-at-home parents to follow. And so you're sort of making it up as you go along. I think that's a significant aspect.
Tracy, did you find that too, that you were sort of out on your own, or did you have a model that was in your head?
I didn't have a model. My mom was a stay-at-home parent, but the problem with that was that I spent the first 20 years of my adult life consciously not modeling myself on her life and pursuing a career, and I came to parenthood fairly late. And so when it came time for me to decide what I was going to do about Emma, Emma was my daughter, and I had some major anxiety attacks. Even when I went home, I started my maternity leave about a month before she was born, and I used to check my voicemail about 4 times a day. I just couldn't let go. You know, it was really tough to make that transition.
Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for a parent considering staying at home to raise a child?
I think I underestimated how hard the transition was going to be. And what saved me was finding a mom's group, a new mother support group. And it was extremely valuable to get together with these other women once a week. And the first 3 months that Emma was home, I was having a hard time adjusting to motherhood, and she was having a hard time adjusting to this planet. And, and so we just were having a tough time there. And if it hadn't been for the new mothers group, I don't know what I would have done.
That's interesting. Tell us a little bit about how that worked for parents who haven't done that.
I just got desperate one day, and I started calling around. The only place I could think of to call was the La Leche League. I was not interested in joining La Leche because I didn't want breastfeeding to be the sole focus. But I called them because I thought they might know of other groups, and sure enough, they did. And it was as simple as that.
And what did the group consist of? It was mothers who came with their children?
Yes, we met once a week. It was sponsored by a local midwives group, and it was anywhere between 8 and 12 women and their babies. It was all women, and all of us were first-time mothers. So we were all sort of shell-shocked and dealing with very similar issues. Kids were all within 6 to 8 months of each other. And so it was just a really, really valuable experience.
Was there a formal program where you guys just talked with each other?
Well, it's interesting how it evolved. When I first joined the group, there were two group leaders who were social workers associated with the midwives group who were the discussion leaders. And it was sort of a formal program every week, semi-formal. They would guide the discussion. And it turned out to be just a very congenial group. And as time went by, it got less and less formal and finally disbanded. But then a good many of us from that group started a play group, which is still going strong.
That's very helpful. Dave, what was your biggest hurdle as a stay-at-home parent?
I think probably my biggest hurdle was getting comfortable in the role, convincing myself that I was doing the right thing, and doing a good job of it. we adopted our children, both our children. And to some extent, there was a carryover with others who had recently adopted or were adopting. And that was a bit of a network for us, but there was no real support group that we had. So I was pretty much alone in looking at opportunities to stay at home.
Did you find that there was something, a group that you could connect with, or some people in the neighborhood or anything, or you were just all by yourself all day long?
No, actually, the transition took a bit of time. When we adopted our daughter Olivia, who's now 15, the adoption agency was interested in bonding. And interestingly enough here, the agency said, well, the baby should bond with the mother for 6 months. And we both at that point were working full time. And what we did was we split that between the two of us. I went to work at 4 in the morning, and I worked until noon. And then Pamela, my wife, went to work at noon and until around 8 in the evening. And so we kept that up for 6 months. And actually, it was nice. It worked out. I think we're inherently both flexible, too. And that was one of many hurdles that we dealt with. But getting comfortable in the role of being a father who is staying home, it took me a while. Now, during that six-month period, and until Olivia was about 2 and a half, and we adopted our second child, Michael, who's now 12, I continued to work full-time. And we had an au pair, a series of au pairs. But when Michael came along, Pamela, in anticipation of that, had already planted some seeds that, you know, maybe, you know, it'd be a good idea since I was being the more stressed person in the marriage, overworked, that maybe, you know, staying at home would add some other dimensions and bring out some things that I was comfortable doing. And so it was back and forth discussion with that, but basically that's how it came about.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion.
The excellent new book, Parents as Mentors, by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is a practical guide to bringing out the abilities in your child. Parents as Mentors is available at all bookstores.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Tracy Thompson and Dave Zellner about what it's like to be a stay-at-home parent. Tracy, how do you combat the isolation of rearing children? People sometimes wonder, who are not stay-at-home parents, what do stay-at-home parents do?
That's interesting. I kept a log one day. In the first 3 months of being a mom, I couldn't understand how I spent my day. I'd get up in the morning and one thing would follow another, and I'd go to bed at night, and I couldn't remember anything I did. So one day I kept a log. And I wrote down every single thing that I did. You know, I made beds. I did 4 loads of laundry. I fed Emma. I changed Emma's diaper about 18 times. I changed her clothes 4 times. I took her for a walk. I made 4 phone calls. After a while, you start to realize, well, you're working really hard. And yet, it doesn't seem that way to outsiders. And sometimes it doesn't even seem that way to you. You find yourself thinking, what did I do all day? What do I have to show for the past 18 hours? And it's really kind of hard to describe unless you're living it.
I had a similar feeling that, there's a lot of labor that just seems to go off into space, you know, with no return. I will say I'm obviously beginning to get some of the returns now as our kids are older. And I'm well pleased. I mean, I think it's a long-term project, of course. All parents know that. But I would also offer that I think part of what my experience has been beneficial to my experience has been that a lot of the work that I did as a consultant in international environmental work involved paper products, not exclusively. I mean, I did work in the field overseas as well, but in generating many paper products, you often don't see the end result of that for various reasons. So I was interested in doing other things like cooking, that you can actually build something and enjoy it near term. And I found that very satisfying. And I think with children, that it's a long-term thing. I mean, I think if you're looking for rewards, they almost are there. You almost have to look for them. They're not necessarily direct. I'm sorry to be so abstract about this, but they do come. Kids will surprise you in the thing that they say or they do or that they've enjoyed, they're happy with. And sometimes there's no comment at all until you realize in reflection how good a time they had at a movie or on a trip or on a day trip or something that you did that at the time they complained they didn't, they didn't enjoy. So I think some of the returns do come, but maybe they're later.
That's right. Sort of like planting a garden. It's for that's a right. longer
yeah,
term.
That's true. Right. Actually, newspaper work was a good preparation for parenthood because newspapers, you put out a product every day and you see it, but it also disappears really fast. You know, you spend time on a story and 3 days after you write it, it's lining somebody's birdcage. So you do sort of get used to the idea that not all of the fruits of your labor are going to be there for the ages. And in a lot of ways, having a nice pile of folded clean laundry gave me a lot more of a sense of accomplishment than writing a story that I knew would not, change the world. So, mm-hmm.
One of my sons asked me a number of years ago, "Mom, what did you have to give up when you stayed home with us?" And I just about fell over. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay. He was 20-something or other. But, mm-hmm. At some point there's an awareness, mm-hmm. and they appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy, what kinds of assistance should at-home parents build into their lives, especially those who can't afford to get another person to substitute parent for them?
Yeah, I think I was thinking about this earlier. I think just having some sort of cooperative babysitting arrangement with somebody. There's got to be somebody in your life, a neighbor or a friend of a neighbor or something, and having this ability to swap off kids and give yourself a break. I actually have learned a lot. My daughter is in daycare 3 days a week, and I've learned a lot from the woman who does this. She lives right in the corner from me, and she's a licensed daycare provider. She's been doing this for about 10 years. And at the beginning of every year, she gives each one of her parents a list of Barbara's well days. And she's, these are the days in the year that I'm taking out for me. And it's, it's a real lesson to me. I think if you take your job seriously, that you have to give yourself days off. Any job comes with days off. And not doing that is a way of kind of devaluing the work of parenthood and devaluing kids.
I would agree wholeheartedly with that. I was perhaps breathing in the microphone unnecessarily a moment ago in thinking about a discussion, actually not too long ago, maybe a year or two ago, in which Pamela has, or at the time she had every other Friday off. Well, that was Mom's day off, plus she doesn't go to work on Saturday and Sunday. But I'm thinking to myself, well, this is a 7-day-a-week deal with me. I'm always doing things even when Pamela's home. And I was just thinking to myself, and I said it out loud. I said, when's Dad's day off? When's my day off? When do I get a day off? And it's true. One of the things about this entire experience has been that it's been very enlightening for me to understand what many women have done over the years that at least weren't apparent to me and perhaps other men, I don't know, is that, many women never had a day off in many respects and domestically. So I had some sense of that, but obviously I made sure that I get a day off.
We had a little joke in our family because my mother at one point asked my sister, who was a number of years younger than I am, when she was very young, what she thought my mother did when she was at school. My mother would stand at the door and my sister would go off to school. My sister was positive that my mother stood at the door all day waiting for her to come back. So that's right. Dave, what kinds of stimulation have you found most accessible and appealing?
Well, with Pamela and me, it's very special when we're obviously able to get away together and have our time together. We have to work at it. We have to, as I think all couples do. Even when she's home, there are obviously many activities going on, and so our stimulation is following our interests where they might be, whether they are attending cultural events around town, of which there are many, or whether we're off camping or on the seashore sometimes when we're alone. We have to fight and work for that time. With the kids, I find it particularly rewarding when we're able to do things as a family. I happen to be the strong driver in the family about family meals and family things together, and much to our kids' chagrin. But I think that's short term, and I'm hoping to get rewards for that in the longer term as well. But I've involved myself in our kids' schoolwork a lot, which is extremely rewarding for me. I mean, I'm chaperoning on school trips. When Olivia was in, I think, the second grade, I was helping her class teacher with a project. There were kites was the product to be made, and she needed help. How do you build kites? And so she had instructions, but she didn't quite understand the instructions. And so I built kites for everybody in the class over a period of a few nights at home and some time at school and getting the materials and getting everything put together. And I followed the, you know, perhaps it's my engineering mentality at its worst, but I followed the directions almost to the letter. And the kites, everybody, the day came for everybody to go outside and fly their kites, and probably only one or two actually flew. I was devastated. But as it turns out, the kids, you know, what did they care? You know, they got to go outside, run around, and fly mm-hmm. their kite. And so it was a good time had by all. But those kinds of things, plus coaching both kids in soccer, were very rewarding and stimulating for me.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a short break now, and we'll be right back to finish our discussion. For an audio cassette copy of Any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015. Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Dave Zellner and Tracy Thompson about being a stay-at-home parent. Dave, how mm-hmm. did you and your spouse decide that you were going to be the one to stay home? That's a big decision for everybody.
It is, and I think a lot of it is just coming to grips with your makeup, your personal makeup. Pamela is much more of getting straight line from A to B. I tend to be a little more loosey-goosey, a little more flexible. And I had some abilities at cooking and doing other things, and probably have more patience with the kids. So it was sort of natural division between our personalities. That's not to say that she didn't have some persuading to do. And as I've indicated earlier, it was a transition. You know, first we shared, then there were au pairs, and then finally, well, David, you're on your own now.
You grew into the job.
Exactly right. I'm still growing.
Tracy, how has being the at-home parent changed your relationships with your spouse and your former colleagues and your friends?
It's interesting. I think my relationship with my husband has become a whole lot more Ozzy and Harriet than it ever was before. Just because the traditional division of labor is just what seems to make sense. You know, if I'm home all day, it makes sense for me to start dinner. So when he comes home, we can eat. And that sort of thing. And it's okay. Before, though, when we were working, I would have been on the warpath if I had had to do that much of the housework, you know. But then I was going to an office every day, the same as he was. So that part of it has changed. And sometimes I get a little apprehensive. I'm thinking, gee, I hope this isn't going to be a lifelong pattern.
You're getting so good at the housework, right?
Yeah. I'm afraid learned helplessness is beginning to set in on some things. With coworkers, it's kind of run the gamut. I've actually had the experience of going back to my old office and running into somebody and getting into a conversation with her where she said, this other person said quite bluntly, well, you know, of course, parents don't work as hard as other people do and they shouldn't get the promotions. And I was sort of, it took my breath away. And
oh my goodness.
I don't even remember what I said to her. And on the other hand, of other people that I've worked with are frankly kind of envious that I get to do this, that I have the luxury of not having this driving financial necessity of really needing that paycheck, which is not to say we've not made financial sacrifices, because mm-hmm. we have. But everything has changed. Everything is different, in good ways and bad.
I'd like to ask you both, when you go places and you have to introduce yourself at business gatherings or at social gatherings, and people say, and what do you do? What you say?
It's interesting. You don't... I think the rule at most social gatherings these days, unless it's a neighborhood backyard barbecue or something, you lead off with what you do. I think that's just the way people are known in the world, and it is tough. If you introduce yourself as a stay-at-home parent, you are inviting being just left by the wayside. It's a harsh truth, but I think it's definitely true. And so I kind of tailor my response to whoever's asking. I am still a writer. I've always been a writer. Just because I'm home all the time doesn't make me less of a writer. It's just that my workplace has changed and my job hours have changed. So I will occasionally identify myself as a writer. If it's another parent asking me, I'll say, I'm a freelance writer, I work at home, and I have a daughter. So I just kind of vary the answer according to who asks.
It depends on the situation. If I'm talking to a stranger and they ask, you know, or it comes up, you know, well, you know, it's time for you to say what you do, maybe I'll say I'm an independent consultant and let it go at that. You know, I tried a couple times to, you know, explain myself. This is part of getting comfortable with what you do. And so I would say I'm an independent consultant, but I stay at home a lot, and I have two kids, and their age, da-da-da-da-da, and they like this, and I do this, and I do that. By the time you do that, you can see the eyes start to glaze over. You know that you've gone too far. So I've learned, and like Tracy said, you know, if you're talking to a parent or someone that you know would be interested or at least would understand, then I'll explain a bit more, because maybe we're in a situation where, you know, why aren't you in your office, or why aren't you, you know, in China somewhere or something? And so yeah. It needs an explanation.
Yes.
But when it doesn't, don't give it.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I've had the experience of, at the beginning, not anymore, but I've had the experience of feeling like I needed to apologize mm-hmm. for not going to an office every day.
Mm-hmm.
And after I got past that little mental block, I realized that's just another way that society has of telling you that parenting and kids are not that important.
Isn't that a shame with all we're going through now mm-hmm. is the fruits of that mm-hmm. value system? Well, to remind our listeners that there are other parents out there who are at home, and to give our listeners some support, I know both of you have some organizations that parents who are staying home or are deciding to make that choice can get in touch with. So, Dave, I know you have a couple of things for fathers.
Yes, there are. There are many things out there that are magazines and organizations and newsletters. There's At Home Dad, which is a newsletter and can be accessed. Many of these can be accessed online. At Home Dad can be accessed at familyintern.com/dad. There is a magazine called Full-Time Dads that's designed to promote and enhance the role of fathers. It can be found at slowlane.com.
S-L-O-W?
S-L-O-W-L-A-N-E.com.
Okay.
Yes.
And there's also the National Fatherhood Initiative, is that right?
Exactly, and it can be found at register.com/father/.
Okay, that's great. Tracy, do you have some things for mothers who are home?
Yeah, I would say, I would emphasize the Internet is a treasure trove of contacts and organizations. I know on America Online, for instance, you can go to Parent Connection and hook up with any number of organizations. There's also a group called Mothers at Home, which puts out a national newsletter, and you can reach them at 1-800-783-4-MOM.
F-O-U-R, F-O-R.
The number four.
The number
mom,
four. Okay.
And then mom. And hook up with them that way and get on their newsletter list. There's also a group called the National Organization of Single Mothers, Incorporated, which looks like is based in Midland, North Carolina. And their phone number is 704-888-KIDS, K-I-D-S.
May I offer a quick comment here? Speaking personally, had the web been as ubiquitous as it is now 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 15 years ago, it would have helped me tremendously, because I sometimes hate seeking out direction and contact, and it would have been so easy for me to just gone online and contacted somebody for information or actually had a conversation with someone.
I think that's the biggest thing for everyone who makes that choice.
Yeah, email has been a godsend for stay-at-home parents, I think.
No question.
Yeah.
And you all have been a godsend for our listeners. We've learned a lot from both of you. We're very glad that Tracy Thompson and Dave Zellner have both been able to be with us today. Thank you both.
Thanks for having us.
I've enjoyed it.
Our gift for caller number 3 on our listeners' poll is an autographed copy of our new book, Parents as Mentors. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 to answer the following question. What has been your toughest situation to resolve as a stay-at-home parent? We'd like to send you Parents as Mentors, so call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573. You can also reach Parents Perspective through your local station or by email to parentspr@aol.com. Or to learn more about us and our book, visit our website through our shortcut address, http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt. Linda Perlis and I are glad you could share Parents Perspective. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.